Romans 13. I said when I began this series that there's some portions of the scripture that we're drawn to, that we feel an immediate appeal to. There's other portions of scripture that's just a little tough. Amen. And not just because of this matter, because of the what they're saying, but when I felt to be the series, I felt in my heart that we shouldn't do them, just go head on to what's next and let the Lord speak to our hearts. That's a wonderful thing. Should scriptures we will get to, if open hearts too, I can share, God can share things to our heart that we would receive. If you stand with us for Romans 13, begin reading verse 1. Paul says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there's no power but God. The powers that be are ain't God. Whosoever therefore resists the power resists the ordinance of God. They that resist shall receive themselves in the nation. Rule not to the good ones, but the evil. If thou be not be afraid of the power, do that which is good, I shall have praise of them. Shall for the agreement with power does it strength, or that it means authority. Authority. The word for he, that's the root, he is the mission of God, the good, but thou do that which is evil, be free. For he bears the warning, for he is a minister of God, under his wrath and evil. Warriors need to be subject, not only wrath, but wrestle, for instance, for the cause of you. Also, how many last answers? Man, can't get man. He's actually saying, let's see. Wherefore, all is true, custom to whom cuss, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor is due. So it says, let every soul be subject to the higher power. There's no power or no word of God. The authorities or the powers that aim to God, the priests will not powers be of God. The powers be of God. God has authority over all. How do you believe that? God has authority over all. Therefore, if we spit the 15 lives, through him, we'll have 15 in our lives. God, folks, never have spit a Christian walk. If God has authority over all, if we submit the authority in our lives, through him, we will have authority in our lives over others. Some people have never authority over him because they submit to the authority above him. And this right here, heaven, Father, you've heard before for the power. You know where you've heard this heard. You know every heart that needs to come with you. And I pray through your anointing, would over God, my thoughts and my heart, and our ears to hear and receive what I say is born. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll be seated. I'm going to review in about 15 seconds. Paul in chapel saying we need to submit ourselves to God. God is a living sacrifice to prove the holy, acceptable, and perfect of God. Well, the thing we do to give us a living sacrifice, the thing that we do, the glory be from chapter number, we minister one to another, number we live in relationships. Chapter 1 says nothing to do if we're submitting our God as a living sacrifice. The living of God says we'll bend to the power and the authority for which we're, that's one of the ways we live righteously. We submit us to thousands years of the other. I believe it's a little rock. I believe it's fresh. He see the car to be driving. He went. I mean, he lapooned. I mean, he just cast again. A belief I had, he said, was liberal. It was something that's not found in the Bible. But he proceeded to tell a liberal. He liberal. A Christian. I mean, he fished a sandwich down the road. And he wadded up a wrapper from the next fast food joint. Walked my boat on in the ditch on the side of the road. Now, you know which of us is liberal. You know, reaching certainty, God's infinite. I'm reaching on level. Nervous. If he was just best created, God in earth, he was great at all. I know there's a law, it's liberal. And here he was, I'm just giving an illustration. He's sitting in his high seat telling me how special he was, how unto was, and then he threw his litter out the window. If he had any credence, what he was saying, then out the window, the trash. It's all a slippery. Amen. See, the fact that he broke that law revealed that there are a lot of Christians that somehow feel the law doesn't apply to them. Some of the Christians are above the law. It's okay if they don't do what that secular, that carnal, that in the hands of the devil, government tells them to do. I'm a Christian. The government is secular. Why should I, as a Christian, have to do what the government tells them? As the advent, the tea parties, and in those tea parties was revealed that there's a lot of anger in America for our government. And to me, that's fine. All protests, what a democracy is about. If you disagree, you can protest, you can dissent, and you campaign for change, and all of that is well good. Be angry at certain policies that you said. That's fine. But should Christians be anti-government? Should Christians say hateful things against the government? Should Christians be disobedient and refuse to submit to the laws of government? What does Paul say? Paul says, no, no, Christians should be the best citizens any government has. Let me believe that. If you're a Christian, that's an excuse not be a good. If you're a Christian, you ought to be the best citizen a government has. Christians should be the law-abiding citizens in the government, a part of that country. I honestly believe that many Christians, because they lack submission to the authority in their life, that has resulted in them having no authority over the enemy when he comes against him. Listen, I've already got your book, I hope not. But if you're here as a young person, if you're not under the authority and submitting to the authority of your parents, you'll never have any authority or safe when he attacks you. It doesn't matter if it's the home, the church. The book of Hebrews said to obey those which have authority over you. It was talking about in the context of the church, leaders and pastors and Sunday school. If you're not under authority to the leadership of the church, you'll never have any authority over Satan when he comes against you. If you're as a citizen, if you're not under the authority of the government, you'll never have authority over the enemy. I believe we ought to have authority over the enemy, don't you? Amen. And so I want to look at what Paul says. First of all, he gives us the rule that Christians should obey the government. This is a rule. Let every soul, let every person be subject unto the higher powers. There's no question that Paul was talking about the government. And he's saying none are exempt. All should obey the government. And here's the interesting thing. When Paul said that, he was speaking of the Roman Empire that went in with its armies, took control and subjugated other nations. It's at a time, no doubt, that Nero or his evil predecessors was the emperor. It wasn't a good emperor. It wasn't a good empire. The officials of the Roman Empire were persecuting the church and the believers. Paul said, let every soul be subject to the government. Yes, there's going to be conflicts between our faith and God's laws and what the government says. But Paul's not addressing that. What he's saying is one can simply say, I'm a Christian, therefore I don't have to obey the government. So Christ, I don't have to obey the government. I want you to imagine with me, you've got small children and you're going to leave them with the babysitter. Before you even get out of the door, your child, the babysitter, and says, you're not my dad. You can't tell me what to do. I don't have to obey you because you're not my dad. You turn around from the door and you look at them and say, your children, you know, that babysitter is not your dad or mom, but I'm dad. I'm your dad, and I'm telling you to obey that babysitter. Some bad attitude of the government. You're not Christ. You're not God. You can't tell me what to do. What Paul says is God turns around and looks at the children of God and says, no, the government's not God. No, the government's not Christ. But I'm God. I'm Christ. And I'm telling you to do what the government says. That's what Paul says. No exemptions. Yes, the corruption in government in ours. Yes, there were laws that were had. And some persons say, I'm not going to obey those. The government was founded on conquest and killing and enslavement. The laws were made by pagans and not Christians. The rulers were corrupt and evil and persecuting. And Paul said, obey them. And he's trying to use throughout the illustration of getting a speeding ticket. Anyone ever got a speeding ticket? Don't lift your hand. That's fine. Now, I know there has to be a little bit of tolerance. Odometers are different. You can get a different size tire. There's a flow of traffic. Some folks, if you just stick right there and the car barreling down upon you, it'd be silly not to speed up. But I'm talking about the attitude, okay? Get this. But what if we had the attitude, it was 25, post a 25 miles speed limit. We get in the car and we think to ourselves, I don't think it ought to be 25 miles an hour. I think it ought to be 50 miles an hour. And the policeman pulls you over, and he's going to give you a ticket. You know, you could have the attitude, well, you know, let's say we're in small town America, and you'd say, well, that I know that officer. When he's off duty, he's an alcoholic, drinking, cursing, adulterer. Therefore, I'm just not going to pull over. I mean, after all, he's a corrupt man. After all, he's an immoral man. He's not going to do what he said. You can't do that. He may be a government maker, but Paul says there needs to be a submission to that. I mean, you just got to do it. And by the way, I always like one. The patrol set up a speeding trap. And the young man, he was late for college and he was headed fast as he could go. Went under the underpass. Here comes that patrol, pulled him over. And the patrolman, an old man, put his hat on, walked up to the window. The young man rolled his window down. And the patrolman looked in at him and said, "Son, I've been waiting for you all morning." The young man looked up at him and said, "I got here as quick as I could. I got here as quick as I could." Amen. It's an attitude about the thing. You see, Paul isn't addressing what the government should or shouldn't do. He's addressing what Christian ought to do. He's not addressing what is a good government or a bad government. He's addressing what is a good Christian or a bad Christian. He's not addressing what the responsibilities of the government is. He's talking about the responsibility of one who wants to follow God. What is the response of the Christian? He isn't addressing the matter if the government records something that goes against our conscience or God's word. He's not addressing that. He's addressing our response to the laws that bring order and harmony in our society. You say, well, what if it's a wrong form of government? What if it's communism? What if it's socialism? Paul's not addressing that. In fact, it doesn't matter what kind of government a Christian lives under. Paul says he ought to have a heart submissive to authority. How many members what the prophet Samuel said many years ago? He said rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's what he says. That's what Paul is addressing. I'll tell you one thing. It doesn't matter the kind of government it is. Any government is only as good as the people in it. That right? It's only as good. In fact, if you had a dictatorship, if the dictator was godly and good and benevolent and wise, that would be a better government than to have a republic and a democracy where the rulers are corrupt and defiled. It's not about what kind of government there is. It's about what kind of Christian do I want to be. And Paul said the rule for believers is that we subject ourselves to the higher powers. You say, well, this doesn't matter. People across our land would get a hold of this, amen, things would be a whole lot better. Couldn't you say amen? Praise the Lord. Secondly, Paul gives the reason that Christians should obey the government. The reason Christians should obey the government. First of all, we should obey because God has given government its power. Amen. You know, Pilate tried that. He tried to lift himself up as having all power, and Jesus looked at him and said, "Listen, Pilate, you wouldn't have any power if God had not given it to you." You know what he said of the man that allowed him to be crucified? God has given government its power. God appoints our leaders or allows him to come to power. We've got to get a grip on that. That should discourage you and me. That should give us reason to believe that God is sovereign. Any ruler that's in power, God has set him there or allowed him to come to power. Nebuchadnezzar, I won't take time for the story. He learned that. He thought he'd come to power on his own, and God struck him with a craziness of head until they put him out to the field with the animals, and his nails grew and his hair and all of that. But God told him what was going to happen, and he said, "They're going to drive thee from men till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth the kingdom, giveth the government to whosoever he will." Listen, you can be discouraged by that, or you can take heart. Things may look out of control. It may look like everything's headed in the wrong direction. You can know that God is in control. He is the supreme power. He is the supreme authority. And we obey the government because God has given the government its power. Amen. God has given us government generally with all the masses of humanity. Can you imagine what life would be without a government? You get upset at that patrolman, but what if there were no patrolmen on the roads? What if there were no police, no rules? Governments from God. And here's the thing we got to get a hold of. And I know, I'm going to shirk that, but we're going to press ahead in it, but it's important we get it. Amen. Here's the thing. People generally get the government that they desire or deserve. I'm not talking about you as an individual, but we, even as a people of America, Brother David, will get the government we desire or deserve. How many remembers the time when Israel was ruled by a theocracy, ruled by my judges and priests and prophets of God? But they begin to say, we want a government like the nations around. We want a king like the nation. God said, it's not good for you. It'll be bad for you. Oh, we want a king like the nation. What did God do? He gave them the government they desired. And listen, can say a lot of things about our government, what's wrong with it. But basically, we have got the government that the people desire. God does that in His wisdom. And then God gives the government to sometimes to discipline people. All through the Old Testament, God allowed different governments to come in and take authority and power and conquer Israel, to discipline Israel for her immorality, her godliness, her turning from God. Amen. I know folks don't want to deal with this today, but the truth of the matter is sometimes God allows governments come to discipline people, to judge people. He also gives governments to facilitate His plan and His agenda. He knows God has a plan for this whole world. And all things working towards the end, Brother Dale, of His plan. Now, I want to tell you something, and I'm not, this isn't a political statement, but I want to tell you something. I don't believe in socialism. I don't believe in a dictatorship. I don't believe in a one world government. I believe we ought to do everything we can in the right channels to stop that. You say amen. But in one sense, maybe this time we will, maybe this election cycle will stop it. But in one sense, we are not going to hold back America getting a government that's friendly to socialism. We can't stop America at one point getting a government that's open to the idea of a one world government. How can I say that? On the authority of God's word, God said there's going to be a one world government. God says there's going to be a one world ruler. We do what we can to stop it. We have that responsibility, but it's going to happen. There's going to rise a government that fits in to the overall plan of God, and even that government is of God in that He allows it. This all means that God is in authority. Government is of God, and it's authority in our lives. When that patrolman turns on his lights, he just doesn't have the authority of the state behind him. He's got the authority of God behind him. And we as Christians, we submit it. The reason we should obey the government is because to go against government is to go against God, unless it's at a point where what the government requires goes against the express word of God. That's another story. But if it doesn't, amen, to go against government is to go against God. I know Peter said it's better to obey God than men, but that is when there is a conflict of our faith, a conflict of the word of God with what the government wants you to do. If the government says quit reading your Bible, you don't obey that. That goes against God's word. Amen. But we're not talking about matters like that. Man, if to go against government is to go against God. Verse 2, whosoever resisteth the authority resisteth the ordinance of God. Another reason we submit, government is good in that it controls evil. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Don't be afraid of that power. Do what's good and you'll have praise of the same. I mentioned it a while ago. But you say you don't like that patrolman because he gave you a ticket. But think what the roads would be like if he went out there. And so we obey because government controls the evil. We don't like our government, but if it wasn't here, think of the chaos. What if no obeyed? The anarchy. And as bad as the government might be, might be. Think about what it'd be like if it wasn't there. How many knows what a country like without a government? My mind's slipping me there. I'm trying to think of Somalia or one of those Eastern African nations. They haven't had a government for years, and there's utter chaos and crime and death and sickness. And so government controls evil. Amen. Government controls evil. He said, if you're doing good, government shouldn't be bothering you. Hallelujah. You know, I know we got an instinctive thing when we see a patrolman, but when we know we got our crew set on the speed limit, that policeman sitting there, he doesn't bother us being there. We don't have to be afraid of him, right? Amen. I mean, if all of a sudden you're pulling your foot, you see a policeman, you're pulling your foot off the accelerator. Yeah, why? Because you're going over the speed limit. And what Paul says here, if you're doing good, you don't have to be afraid of the government. It's there to control the evil. Another reason Christians should obey the government is because government is backed by God. Look at verse 4. He, the ruler, is a minister of God to thee for good. I want you to notice what it says here. The government official is called a minister of God, just like a preacher of the gospel. They have different functions. They serve different purposes, but they're called the servant of God in Scripture. I mean, this is a holy thing. He doesn't bear the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a avenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. God used the government to judge evildoers. Amen. You get angry at a policeman, amen, when you're speeding, and yet God is using them to judge the one that is doing wrong, and he calls him a minister of God. I mean, sometimes that just revolutionizes our thinking. Have you ever read portions of the Bible that did that? When you really read them, when you really thought about what they were saying, it just turned everything up on its head. And here Paul calls a government official a minister of God. In other words, it's someone that is doing the will of God, amen, to keep on evil and to judge evil. Another reason we should obey our government is to disobey the government is to suffer the consequences. It says here in this verse, he executes wrath. And then in verse 5, wherefore you must needs be subject to obey the government, not only for wrath, but that means also because of wrath. What is wrath here? It's the consequences, the penalties from the government. Don't you think it's reason enough to obey the speed limit just because of the price of the ticket? Either I'm just way off base or I'm getting too close to home. I don't know. That ought to be reason enough not to speed. How many's got a speeding ticket? Those are unfair questions. How many knows that speeding tickets are real costly? That's the wrath of the government. Maybe the wrath of your spouse or your parent when they find out too. But Sister Brock, it's not just the wrath and penalty, it's the judgment of God. He says, obey the government, and he'll judge those who break his laws. Another reason a Christian should obey the government, to disobey the government, is to have a bad conscience, but also for conscience sake. That means if you got a sensitive heart at all, if you're really trying to serve God, then if you break the laws of government, it ought to bother your conscience. Now, when children are small and you're driving, you don't have to have a conscience. Your kids are your conscience. I mean, Brother Keith, as soon as they learn what numbers are, you'll be driving down the road, minding your own business. They'll look up and see the posted speed limits, 35 miles an hour. They look up from their car seat. They'll look at the speedometer. Dad, it said, what did I say, 35? Did I say? Dad, it said 35 miles. And Dad, you're going 46 and a half miles per hour. How many learned as parents, kids are your conscience? Yes, sir. For conscience sake. Amen. Do that what is right. Follow the laws. Follow the laws. I heard about a man a long time ago trying to cheat the IRS. He got saved, not so he couldn't sleep at night. He woke up at midnight one night, wrote a letter, put a check in it, sent it to the IRS. He said to the IRS, Dear IRS. No, he can't say dear. Dear IRS. He said, I've been cheating. I'm not paying the taxes I ought to pay.
enclosed my conscience. It didn't bother me. Enclosed is a check for back taxes. And dear IRS, if my conscience keeps bothering me, I'll send you a little more. Amen. I mean, conscience will bother you if you have a heart for God and a heart. But it's not just that. It's your witness. Witness. I've always wondered, back of mine, they called them fuzz busters. You know those radar detectors. I've always wondered what kind of witness that would be to a patrolman when the bumper sticker says, honk if you love Jesus, and you were speeding, and he walked up, and you had a radar detector on your dash, you know, trying to get by with breaking the law. I always wondered what kind of witness that would be to the patrolman. Anyone else ever wondered that? Okay. Sister Heath, you and I are oddballs. We're the only ones that's ever wondered that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's our witness. I mean, what kind of witness was that when my friend and I were driving down the road and that person that already has in for the church, if I don't have bumper stickers, but if I did, he saw the litter coming out the window. Amen. Obey. Keep. These are reasons for obeying the government. Then Paul moves on to the requirement of a Christian to support the government. He said, verse 6, this cause you pay taxes also, for they are God's ministers. And remember, this was the Roman Empire, attend continually upon this very thing. I believe it's as American as apple pie to complain about taxes. I just don't think you're a good American if you don't complain. That's how we got our start, by the way. Little history lesson is complain about taxes. I think the taxes are way too high. I think it's too large a portion. It's bad when the government gets more of our income than God gets. Amen. Of course, for some folks, the coffee shop gets more than God gets. I don't like paying taxes. But he says here, it's taxes that pays God's ministers. If we didn't pay the taxes, that patrolman wouldn't be sitting there in the speed trap to give tickets. You say, hallelujah, that'd be great. No, we've already covered that. It wouldn't be so great when that maniac comes up behind you. Amen. We are to give to the government, to pay taxes. Go ahead and complain it's too high. But they need that money to give us the security, to have the army, to have the structure that keeps back evil, to fight the crime, to provide the road. Amen. And then last of all, Paul talks about the respect. He commands a respect that Christians are to have towards the government. Verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear, that means respect, to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due. Now, this goes way back to the 60s, but when the hippies hit and we were little kids then, it became the cool thing to call the cop pigs. Does anyone remember that? Little kids in the neighborhood picked up on that. There goes a pig. So I can't remember who it was. Someone in my family, someone got a hold of me, said, you don't dare call a policeman a pig. You know, you don't do that. You respect him. Amen. He's an officer of the government. And we can say derogatory things. Again, I preached last week or whenever it was. Amen. We can disagree. We can have strong opinions about the policy. But we are not to be disrespectful of the government officials. In fact, Paul says, we are to pray for them. You know, I know there's a lot of things, but I'm not trying to be spiritual. I'm just applying the Word of God. I know there's a lot of things wrong with our government, but I wonder what would happen if the church, if the believers would pray as much for those government officials and much time as we spend cutting them down and attacking him. What would happen, do you think? God answers prayer, don't you? Hallelujah. Show respect to them. Approval for our government is at an all-time low, and I feel justifiably so. The approval for our government is at an all-time low, but that's been translated into an all-time low of respect. We disagree, but we show respect. We attack the policies, and that's what we do in a democracy. bureaucracy, but we honor the position. Amen. We don't attack the person. Paul said, render them respect. If you don't obey the government, in the end, you're not going to obey God. I remember the time, Sister Marvell, trying to raise my kids right. Amen. I would look at them at a matter of discipline, and I'm one I don't like discipline. At a matter of discipline, I would look at them and I said, Dad's going to get on to you, because if you don't obey God, or I didn't say that, if you don't obey Dad, you won't obey God. If you don't obey Mom, you're not going to obey Jesus Christ. I believe it. Wherever down the rank the disobedience is, the lack of submission, it goes all the way back up to the top of the rank, and it's a disobedience to God. I don't know how you feel, but we're in the mess we're in because people do not obey God. I believe we need any kind of revival. It's a revival of obedience of God and His Word. It turned this nation around. If from way down here all the way up, we live in submission and obedience. Well, hallelujah. The spirit that refuses to submit to government and to rules carries over to all of life. We Americans pride ourselves on individualism, and that's good. But some refuse to submit, whether it's the church, whether it's the home, it's the government. They'll submit to no discipline. They'll yield to no leadership. They'll answer to no accountability and wonder why their lives are falling apart. It's because if you're not living under authority, you'll have no authority in your life. I am not going to open a new sermon, but I'm going to bring it all together. If you'll just give me just a few minutes to make this a practical application to our lives. I have told you we're to obey the government because Christ is all powerful and He has instructed us to. Whenever I obey the government, that means I'm not kowtowing to its policies. It means that I'm recognizing that Christ is the supreme power and He is supreme, even government. How many believes that? Brother Dell, I'm not a military man, so forgive me if I don't get this right. But and Brother Brandon, but the structure, you're National Guard, right? I'm thinking more Army. But it starts out with private, right? Corporal, sergeant. Oh, there's different levels of sergeants. Lieutenant, captain, major, lieutenant colonel, brigadier general, major general, lieutenant general, general of the Army, and commander in chief. So the Portuguese is commander in chief. But the structure is, when you're in disobedience to a lower officer, you're in disobedience to a higher officer. If you're disobeying the sergeant, you're disobeying the lieutenant and the captain and the mate and the colonel and the general. If you're disobeying anywhere, if the corporal doesn't do what the sergeant says, amen, he's not doing what the lieutenant says. And he does what the sergeant says because the lieutenant says, you do what the sergeant says. And the captain says, you do what the lieutenant says. The major says, you get the idea. How you said you're not going to go through all that again. No one to tell you that Jesus is commander in chief. Our government is way down the line in the rank of authority, but it's still in the line of the rank of authority. I don't know if I use these scriptures, Brother Mike, but I want to hear, and again, I'm not opening another sermon. I'm bringing this all together in a moment. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come to my room. In other words, to heal my servant, but just speak the word and my servant will be healed. The centurion, that'd be like a sergeant, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Notice what the man said, brother. He didn't say, I have great authority, and therefore I say, go, and the man goes. He said, because I am under authority, I say to the man, go, and he goes. In other words, he said, I'm a sergeant, and because I obey that lieutenant, when I tell that private to go, he's going to go, because he knows if he doesn't, I've got the lieutenant behind me, and I got the captain behind me, and I've got all up the ladder, I've got them all behind He said, because I'm under authority, I have authority. And it's no different in Christian's life. If you want authority in your Christianity, if you want authority over Satan, if you want authority over the temptations in your life, you submit to the authority over you. And then when you look at Satan and say, I rebuke you, Satan, there is authority behind you because you are under authority. And you got the all of it backing up. Clear up to the commander-in-chief. Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking about victory in your Christian experience. Hallelujah. Many Christians have so little authority because they live lives so little under authority. Being under Christ's authority and obeying our government, we have all the power of Christ's authority behind us. Later, the Bible says, Jesus, Matthew 28, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go and preach. He said this way in Luke, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Put those two together, same situation. Jesus said, I have all power in heaven and earth. Go. And if you obey, if you go, I will give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. I'm preaching these last few moments. You can have power and authority in your life as you submit to the authority above you. And by the way, everybody's a boss. Everybody's got a boss. Except God. Kid had a thing a few years back. You're not the boss of me. How many's ever heard that? I'm just talking about spiritual victory. If you'll submit, there'll be an authority that will enter your life. If we live lives not obeying those with rule over us, whether family, church, work, or government, then we'll have lives of real authority. And the devil tramps some every time to counter him. They have no authority. They have no authority because they're not under authority. Oh, I hope something will hold of our hearts that we can have true authority, believer authority, Christian authority in our lives as we submit to God. You may say, go ahead and start coming. You may say, well, I ain't going to do that. I think my parents are silly and requesting it. I think they're way off base. I think the government is already gone. Told rotten. I'm just not going to do that. You'll never have victory. You'll never overcome. But I want to tell you nothing. Paul said in another epistle, but every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'll be the government, brother Keith. I'm not bowing to the government. I'm bowing to Christ. If I'm a dependent child, I obey my parents. I'm not bowing to my parents. I'm bowing to Christ. When I follow the leadership of the church, I'm not bowing to the church leadership. I'm bowing to the authority of Christ. You say, I'm not going to do it. You will one day. I want to preach and I'll preach over and over again. Everybody's going to bow. You either bow now or you'll bow then. It's a wonderful thing right now. Come to him. I give my life. I give you everything. I'm going to live my life under the submission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how you can bow now like that. And it's a wonderful life-changing thing. But if you refuse, you'll bow. Amen. You might have rebelled all through life. But at the judgment day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord over all. And after Paul said it, he said, for as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He said, every knee shall bow. Keep on obeying. I want to tell you, church, keep on obeying. Keep on submitting. You're under the authority of Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He is Lord of all. Amen. People don't like to hear Christ has been preached so often as just a better eye. Let's escape the problems. Fire and hell. People live and preach. Well, some folks are saved, but they've never made Jesus their Lord. I don't believe it for a moment. I believe that no one is genuinely converted till they bowed knee and hardened mind and made Jesus the Lord, Commander-in-Chief of their lives. I remember talking to a family member years ago. Went out and seen off everything he'd been taught. talked to him through the open window. And he basically said, I'm tired of my life the way other folks want to live it. And now I'm going to do my own thing. I want to tell you something, what I've observed. I'm not being smart, I'm not being facetious, but it's been my observation. It doesn't have to be a young person, but especially young. Every time a young person says, I'm tired of doing, I'm going to do my own thing. Every time they say that, they don't end up doing their own thing. They end up doing exactly what the devil would like for them to do, to destroy their lives. Why? Because there is no third option. No man can serve two masters. You can't say, well, I'm not going to serve Christ, but I'm not going to serve Satan either. Can't say it. No man can serve two masters. He'll serve one or the other. If you're one of those that say, well, I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. No, you'll never live it the way you want to live it. Or else you need to be aware that the way you want to live it fits hand in glove with the way Satan wants you to live it. I want to tell you, if we're going to serve a master, I want to serve the Lord Jesus. How many's with you on that? I want to confess that He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. We'll just put your hand right out and say, He is Lord. He is Lord. Come on across. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is. Come on, say it across the building. In the face of every problem you have, every difficulty, every conflict, He is Lord. He is Lord. Would you stand across the building? I've got two great fears when I preach. Number one is that I'm boring. Number two is I've preached in vain. I don't want to believe that. Would you bow your hearts and your heads across this building? And I just want to give you the appeal as it is coming to my heart. It doesn't matter the area. Maybe it's Christ directly Himself. Maybe it's government. Maybe it's home. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's marriage. Maybe it's a child care thing. But as the Word for God spoke to it and said, I'm a Christian in that area. You haven't given your body a living sacrifice in that area. The Holy Spirit has tugged at your heart. Maybe you're a child, maybe you're another person. But the Holy Spirit, you'd be honest this morning. We'll know with God without honesty, but you'd be honest and say, the Holy Spirit tugged my heart about a lack of submission in my life. I want you just to come to this altar. And as you kneel, you say, I'm kneeling to the Lord Jesus. I am making a statement that He is Lord of my life. Are you anywhere across the building to say, the Holy Spirit tugged at my heart, saying that I needed to be more submissive. I'm just going to give myself afresh and anew, my body a living sacrifice. Would you come right now? Maybe you need to be saved. Maybe you need to be saved. Listen, I'm saying, I got to say, you don't do your own thing. Either do what God desires or what Satan desires. Tell you what master says. Always seeking pleasures. But oh, when he's got control, there's no slave to save a seat. But to serve the Lord, his yoke is easy. His burden is light. Hallelujah. I leave that altar call open, but I'm open to church. Every child of God, every Christian that would like, come one more time, bow and psalter and say to Jesus, you are Lord. I give my life to your Lordship. Would you come across the building? I give my life, Lordship. Amen. I'm living surprise. I say that you, Lord. I say that you, Master. Hallelujah. You're the commander in chief of my life. You're the commander in chief of my life. Hallelujah. All my problems are your problems. All my difficulties are your difficulties, because you are Lord. You are Lord as believers are coming. Maybe you're here and you've been living your life for the wrong purposes. Would you come and kneel and surrender yourself to Jesus? I'm tired of being a slave to Satan. I want to be a servant of the Most High, of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.